I find it quite entertaining and encouraging that the Holy Spirit seems to have us all on a pretty similar pathway. You know, Pastor Rob was speaking a few weeks ago about conflict, and Pastor Mark spoke last weekend about how to improve our relationships. And today I am talking about something that I wrote in the midst of one of our Melbourne lockdowns, and that is about tension, something that I struggled with. So tension is defined as being stretched tight, mental or emotional strain, a strained relationship or conflict. I don't know about you, but I have been feeling a little stretched tight lately and have been feeling a bit of a roller coaster of emotional and mental strain. And I've certainly walked through moments in the past of relational conflict or experienced tension within those relationships when neither party seems to see eye to eye, or we might disagree with each other, or I'm confronted with something new. And I wonder, what about you? And I found myself in these moments asking the question, where is Jesus in the tension? Firstly, I want to recognize that not all tension is bad. You know, without tension, guitars would not play music. With those, we have to embrace the tension in order to experience the music. Archery requires tension. Without the pullback on the string and the tension on that string, you would not see the arrow fly from its holder. So you see that tension can be incredibly beneficial, and it can be a catalyst for growth and change and transformation. I was thinking about when you pull the rubber band tight, it becomes thinner. And I thought to myself, perhaps when we are pulled tight in tension, we find ourselves in a position of humility where God is seen all the clearer. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 says, "In our weakness, God's grace is made all the more sufficient, and his strength is made all the more known." In Matthew chapter 5, verse 3, it says, "You are blessed when you are at the end of your rope. With less of you, there is more of God and his rule." Change brings tension. Discourse brings tension. Difference brings tension. Loss and grief brings tension. And many of those things we are experiencing right now and have experienced this year. Some tension we can choose to avoid, and other tension we find ourselves thrust into. I want to speak to that first category for a moment, the kind of tension that we can choose to avoid. Sometimes there are times where we are presented with an opportunity to engage with the tension and embrace the tension, and we have the power to do so or to run away. Martin Luther King Jr. is quoted saying, "I must confess that I am not afraid of the word tension. I have earnestly opposed violent tension, but there is a type of constructive, non-violent tension which is necessary for growth." I wonder, what is your response to this kind of tension? Can we be okay with sitting in the tension? When you are confronted with this sort of tension and discomfort, can you stay there? Can we stay there? I'm a big fan of people getting out of their comfort zones, and I find when I get out of my comfort zones, at the end of my comfort zone, at the end of me, Jesus is there, and my faith is made all the more activated. Many times I have seen Christians avoid places and people and situations that might cause tension, whether it be because they are different to them, whether they share a different view, whether they are weird, or they make us feel a bit uncomfortable. Or perhaps they present an idea that we've never thought about before. But I don't see Jesus doing this. In fact, what I read of the Gospels is of a God in Jesus who not only doesn't avoid moments and people and places that could bring tension, but in fact he embraces those and actually intentionally goes to those places. But I do want to make a side note, what I don't see is Jesus being walked over. In fact, I see him being a little bit sassy. In Matthew chapter 9, we hear a story of Jesus. This is what it says. Jesus was presented with a paraplegic man on a stretcher for healing. It says Jesus forgives his sin, which the religious scholars saw as blasphemy. So Jesus, proving himself to be the Christ, heals the man's body. He says to the man, "Get up, take your bed and go home." The crowd was awestruck, amazed, and pleased that God had authorized Jesus to work in this way. Next second in the story, it says that passing along, Jesus came across a man working at collecting taxes. His name was Matthew. Jesus said, "Come along with me." So Matthew stood up and followed him. Later, it says, when Jesus was at eating supper with Matthew at Matthew's house with his close followers, a lot of disreputable characters came and joined them. When the Pharisees saw him keeping this kind of company, they had a fit and lit into Jesus' followers, saying, "What kind of example is this that your teacher is setting, acting cozy with crooks and riffraffs?" Jesus, overhearing this, shot back, "Who needs a doctor, the healthy or the sick? I am after mercy, not religion. I'm here to invite outsiders, not coddle insiders." Jesus stayed in this tension and he worked his faith out amongst it. I heard a quote once that said, "Anytime we draw a line between us and them, Jesus goes to the other side of the line and beckons us to join him." Perhaps the place of tension is exactly where we need to be, and perhaps it's exactly where we need to join Jesus. Richard Rohr is quoted saying, "We dare not get rid of the pain before we have learnt what it has to teach us." What if in embracing the pain and the tension, we find growth? You may have heard a part of the poem that I wrote this year in a devotion that I shared a couple of months ago. This poem came out of some of the prayers I've been praying this year to God in amongst the craziness of life. This is part of it. "I always knew spring brought life, but now I am realizing that spring is also when the casings break, when they rip off the seeds, when the leaves grow through hard work, when the world tries to make sense of things after hibernation." Now, on to the second category, that of the tension we find ourselves thrust into. Lisa Harper has come and shared with us before about the story of the Garden of Eden and the story of creation and shalom. She talks about the very good relatedness between God and humankind and all of creation. She shares of the decision that was made to not choose God, to not choose relationship with him, and to not choose to trust him. And that as a result, humankind was thrown from the garden. We have inherited this sin nature. But thank goodness, that's not where the story ends. Later on in the Old Testament, we hear of the story of Job. Pastor Rob wrote a blog about this story and about a conversation that occurred within this story. This is what Pastor Rob said. "If I were to write out in plain English the interaction between God and Job, which happens at the end of the story, it would go something like this. Job would ask, 'Why do I suffer? Where were you when I was experiencing all of this, God?' God would respond, 'You can't question me. I'm God.' Job would respond to God saying, 'That won't cut it with me. I'm not satisfied with that excuse.' And God would respond, 'You're right.'" Pastor Rob goes on to say that, "I know that our modern Christian mindset finds it very difficult to imagine God in this way, but that's the climax of this incredible story, this incredible poetic play. Firstly, I love this. God can handle human anger with suffering, even when it's directed at him. And secondly, God can handle our scrutiny about suffering, and it's perfectly fine to question God. How good is it to know that in the midst of tension, God is not afraid of our questions?" Later on in the Old Testament, we read of a book called Psalms. It's a beautiful, stunning collection of stories and prayers and songs to God. And these are not just happy clappy songs. Whilst there are songs of praise and thanksgiving to God, there are so many songs and prayers that are real, authentic, genuine, raw, sometimes scary emotions expressed and documented. And a lot of these emotions are directed at God. The Psalms can be of great comfort in tense times because they do not deny human emotions. In fact, they embrace it as okay, and not only that, but that expressing emotions to God is okay. Isaiah the prophet speaks of Jesus in a prophecy in Isaiah 53 when he says this, "Jesus' suffering bore our griefs." In Jesus' suffering, he bore our griefs. Now, there are a few different ways to describe the Hebrew words behind "he bore" or "he bears" our grief. Some describe it as to take up, to lift, to raise. Another says the words are similar to that of what happened with the story of Noah and the ark when it describes the waters increasing and lifting up the ark. Another describes it as meaning to bear, to carry, like a child in the arms. In all of these definitions, it is clear that the idea of lifting, sustaining, taking up, and conveying away as if by holding a burden exists. Then we have the words "our griefs." He bore our griefs. He bears our griefs. The word used here means sickness, disease, anxiety, affliction. Jesus carries our grief. He lifts us up in the midst of it like a child. In tension, we are frequently confronted with our humanity, with our limitations, our lack of control, our emotions. And in this, we can find great comfort and solidarity in the humanity of Jesus. You know, one of my favorite passages in the whole Bible is one that is simply two words, and you find it in John chapter 11, and it is that of Jesus wept. In Matthew chapter 26, it shares the story of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. It talks about Jesus grieving and crying out to God. Here we see God himself suggesting that it is okay to grieve. It is okay to cry. It's okay to lean on friends. And it is totally okay to go to God with the lot. In John chapter 14, we read of the great New Testament promise. As the Messiah was of the Old Testament, Jesus, the Holy Spirit is the promise of the New Testament. The same that gave the Son to be our Savior gave us the Holy Spirit to be our Comforter. John chapter 14 talks about it like this. Jesus said, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, a comforter, advocate, intercessor, counselor, strengthener, standby, to be with you forever." All of this makes me think of a story and a passage where Paul is speaking, and that is in Philippians chapter 4, verse 12. Paul says this, "I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learnt the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all things through him who gives me strength." God is more than okay with our questions. He is more than okay with us expressing our emotions, hurts, and needs to him. He is with us. Holy Spirit is with us always. And God holds us up in our grief. Where is Jesus' intention? Right here in the midst with us.